Hey, winners. I hope you're having the most terrific day. I know this episode has been pretty long awaited, but oh man, I am so honored to say we have a serious knack here at One Nothing Podcast for just finding the most amazing humans to talk to and to share their stories with us and their words of wisdom. And of course, you know, we did not disappoint for our second One Something special. It's amazing that we're here already. It feels like just yesterday we had our first. I'm really excited that we were able to continue this amazing series with just another outstanding, amazing, loss of words kind of person. There's just not enough amazing words in the dictionary to describe her. And the person that we brought on today, like I said, she's an inspiration. She's a motivation, especially for me personally, to just get out there and to live your life and to follow your passions at all costs. And I really, really hope that this or a similar message gets through to you in this episode. There are a few major messages, but I really hope you pay attention specifically to the words of our guest regarding conservation and how important it is to really do your research. And for those of us who love nature and wildlife, I know it's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, but it comes at great cost that our guest was able to express this message to us. So I really hope it hits home. Want to remind everybody, we are skipping segments again for this one. I really just want to give our guest 100% of our time and focus. Rest assured, we'll be picking them up for episode 21. So please don't worry. Lastly, before we get started, I do want to remind everybody that our Patreon is now live. It's crazy. We've worked so hard on bringing this to you guys, so please check it out. There's three tiers to choose from, depending on just how much action you're looking for. There's everything from weekly episodes to guests with games. There's tangible goodies like survival guides and first aid kits, which come loaded with stickers and other kind of fun little prizes. We even have merch. There's just so many reasons to become a member. It's almost ridiculous not to, honestly, with the amount of work and effort that we've put into this to bring you guys something really special. So don't forget that supporting us here at One Nothing Podcast helps us to invest more into our show and to provide you a better listening experience in general, by way of upgraded technology, editing program software, and just much more. So please know every bit of your support is appreciated wholeheartedly by David, Rachel, and myself. Speaking of Rachel, sadly, she could not make this one, unfortunately, but David was able to play Robin to my Batman again for this most amazing of episodes. We're going to get into it and bring our guest on. I do want to say that the following episode contains graphic themes and descriptions of an injury, so listener discretion is going to be advised. Again, please don't let your kiddos sit in on this one. Your choice, but just coming from someone who knows what's in store, it gets a little gnarly at times, so just listener discretion. Thank you, guys. Please give your full attention to our most amazing guest who's coming in. Can't wait to see you at the end. Okay, guys. Well, it is that time. We have an amazing guest with us here today. We have the Kristen Yalder. Kristen, hello.
Hello, everyone.
We are so super excited. Sorry, David. I always end up cutting you off. We're really, really excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for sharing a few moments of your time to talk with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear it. David, how are you doing since I cut you off already?
Fantastic. Very excited.
We're extremely excited. So thank you again. There's a lot of folks listening who probably don't know Kristen's story, so we're going to get into it. But first, I'm just going to have Kristen share, if you don't mind, a little bit about yourself. I know you have a passion for photography, so if you could talk to us a little bit about what led you along that path.
Sure, not a problem. Yes. I've always loved photography. My passion actually started with underwater photography. I always loved snorkeling when I was younger, and I just wanted to stay down longer to get better photos of the wonderful, colorful fish. And so that actually led me into scuba diving. And then once I finally met my husband, Ryan, he was into photography as well. And both of us kind of latched onto each other and our passions. And I got him into underwater photography, and he got me into more wildlife and nature photography. So together, that kind of just fueled our fire for that passion, that drive, the travel, the experiences that we can get into. And we just kind of turn that into something that we do on a constant basis in our free time to get out there and experience those things and take that photo that will last us a lifetime and keep that memory with us.
What a beautiful way to describe that passion. And I relate a lot to that with a photograph kind of being a memory that you've kind of entombed that moment, you know, to look back on, and you can feel those feelings again. That's really amazing. So I know you had your photography passion kind of led you to explore wildlife, in particular, African wildlife. Isn't that right?
I love all wildlife, but Africa has a special place in our heart for us. Ryan's family does live over there. So that kind of drove our fire to go that way to visit family, especially his grandmother that was getting elderly. We wanted to have that time with her before it was, you know, moving on to a state where maybe she wouldn't remember as much, but we would at least have our experiences with her. But in particular, that trip came up as well because it was around my birthday. So it was always a goal of ours to see the wonders of the world, and Victoria Falls happens to be one of those. And so we decided to book this trip knowing that it would be that once in a lifetime trip to go see the falls and experience that area. And it's just a conglomerate of different experiences because there's four countries that merge all in that same center area by Victoria Falls that you can experience herds of elephants and herds of hippos and tons of grazing animals, all in those different environments.
That sounds beautiful and so picturesque. And that, David, does that sound like someplace you'd maybe want to visit?
I've actually seen the falls, not with my own eyes, but I saw them and they're amazing. It's just the complete drop. It is crazy. And that's in Zimbabwe, is it not?
It is. It's on the border between Zimbabwe and Zambia.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
The different seasons that you can go, you'll have different experience depending on if you're in the high water season. You'll have forceful rapids coming down and over the falls and lots of mist in the air. And we went in low water season, which you still have a nice waterfall, but you get the whole entire skyline of the water and the falls and the cliffs that fall off of that area.
Oh, my gosh.
Neat.
So this trip, you'd mentioned it being kind of a once in a lifetime. Looking back, is that a takeaway that you would apply to that trip?
I certainly would. What is unknown to you in your situation of what you're trying to experience will be definitely one that will never be forgotten in my mind.
So I think we've dangled a little for quite a while for our listeners here. So I know that something during this trip changed your life forever. So could you walk us through, if you're comfortable with it, kind of the entire ordeal and what happened?
Sure. So we had our experience getting into Zimbabwe. We wanted to make sure we definitely saw the falls. And so we booked an all-day excursion to at least get a taste of the safari area in the morning. And we did a full drive through the park. We had a wonderful lunch at a picnic spot in the middle of the park. And then that later afternoon went over to the falls to experience the falls over near sunset, go have an early dinner, and just so we could see if we wanted to see the falls again before we ended our trip. The rest of the time we had booked safari rides, guided tours, and specifically for my birthday, we decided that it might be a relaxing day to enjoy a canoe trip down the Zambezi River, which gave you a different perspective on seeing the animals that might be on the riverside, maybe a giraffe bending down to take the sip of water, or a group of elephants that might be playing in the water or feeding themselves. So we just wanted a different perspective, but mostly a calm and relaxing day, and then enjoy a wonderful dinner for my birthday to celebrate that evening. What we didn't expect was the morning of the canoe trip. After our breakfast, my husband and I and the two other tour guide boats launched off, and about 5 minutes into the trip, the lead canoe guide pulled us above down the river. On the right-hand side, he saw a group of hippos and instructed us to paddle to the left-hand side. We proceeded over to the left-hand side, and I glanced over to see if I could see a group of the hippos or any of them in the water, and I didn't see anything except one back submerge. So I didn't think anything of it. We kept paddling just a little bit more, and out of nowhere underneath our canoe came a forceful thud, and Ryan and I both got launched out of the canoe.
Oh my God.
He fell backwards, and I fell forwards towards this animal that had come up underneath our canoe. And within a minute of popping back up, I started to swim towards the shoreline, which we were close by already. And with only a couple of strokes, something immediately grabbed my leg and dragged me under the water.
Oh, my goodness.
I had seen the back of it, so I already knew it was a hippopotamus that had come up underneath our canoe. And it was going the direction that I fell. I didn't know if it was going to turn around to get me, in which it did. So in that moment, I instinctually grabbed a breath of air, not knowing how long I might be down. As soon as that happened, I also kept my hands above my head to try to see if I could feel for air and the circus break in case I had another chance to get a breath of air if I was running out. And as soon as I did not feel any surface, I immediately crunched up into a ball and went into survival mode to hold my breath and try not to drown because I did not know how long this was going to last. The hippopotamus started thrashing me back and forth under the water like a little rag doll. You think of a little dog playing with a toy in its mouth and it just constantly thrashes it back and forth. That's exactly how I was in its mouth. So to try to minimize the amount of impact of me going from side to side in my crunching of my body, I actually was kind of hugging its face to try to not to be thrashed so much.
Oh my God.
I also knew right where its mouth was on my leg, so I grabbed at its nose area to try to pry at it. And I think that instinct that I had to do that might have spooked it, and it did eventually let me go. I would say I was probably down under the water for almost 45 seconds, and I was running out of air. And when you're a child, when you're playing with your sibling underwater and you see how long you can hold your breath, you kind of do this re-swallowing of your air. And I don't know if it actually makes you stay down longer, but it seems like it feels like it does. And I actually was doing that as I felt like I was coming close to being out of breath.
That's amazing.
But during that time, with me grabbing its face, it did let me go. I popped up to the surface due to my life jacket. And I was facing the direction of the shoreline, which is where the guides had paddled to and were waiting to see where I might have been or where I was. And I could see Ryan just getting to the shoreline. So that's how I know I wasn't also down very long, as he was just getting over the rocks and he lost his shoes. So he was stepping all over the rocks. And I tried to swim towards the shore and I couldn't. I immediately yelled to the guides on the shoreline, "I can't swim. I think my knee is broken." And I just instinctually turned over and started backstroking. Because in a backstroke, you don't need your legs to really kick. Your arms have more power going backwards than it does for a forward stroke or like a doggy paddle kind of thing. So I took five strokes and the guide yelled to me to reach the canoe paddle on the shoreline, which I was able to grab, and he pulled me into the rest of the way to the shore.
Just the brilliance that you were able to think, I mean, to happen within 45 seconds and the thought process that you had is just remarkable. I mean, I'm sure you're well aware of that, but just, I don't know that my brain would be going that quickly to be solving those issues as they come in my mind. That's just so impressive.
Yeah, I like to think that my past experiences and me scuba diving, my experience in doing that, we dive with sharks. We had been diving with sharks. So we are used to conserving our air and being in relaxed so that way you're able to stay down longer when you're on your scuba tank. But also being with those wild animals, you also, you know, try to feel for their environment and their habitat and their nature. And so being in a stressful situation, I think that helped me in this moment, as well as being just physically active and fit, and, you know, being into sports and everything gave me that good air consumption as well.
My gosh. So once they got you on the shore, I mean, was it, were you in a location where you were easily transported to the hospital, or what kind of happened following that?
So the irony to that is where I had mentioned the first day where we had gone through this, the nature park, and we stopped for lunch. This was the exact spot that we stopped for lunch on the first day of our trip in Zimbabwe. That's how we knew exactly where we were. We were not on the correct side, but we were in the middle of the river. So when they say paddle to the left side of the bank, it's not actually the complete left side of the river. It just happens to be low season, which I had mentioned. So there are a lot of areas that look like islands and things like that in the middle of the river. So that's actually where we were at. We were on just the lower bank area, that there were plenty of trees and things growing, but there was a shoreline essentially on that side. So we were on that location. The guides pulled me out of the water, and surprisingly, Ryan had a waterproof iPhone at the time, and we decided not to take Amber equipment when we found out what type of canoes we were in, as they would get damaged by the water, but Ryan's iPhone was waterproof, so I was using that to do photography. And right before the hippo attacked our canoe, I had put it in my zippered pocket, which was not the stuff that was bit. So he actually ended up making the phone call to our hotel to get help back to where we were, because the guides did not have cell service. They were too far away from the cell towers for Zimbabwe because we were too close to Zambia, and their phones do not work in Zambia. No way to make a phone call to try to get help. And the walkie-talkie to our drop-off car, they were out of range at the time since they were still packing up the vehicle and had just already launched 5 minutes down the way. So without Ryan's cell phone and international cell coverage, we might not have gotten help. But they were able to dispatch a helicopter and take a tourist helicopter and convert it and bring medical staff to the location, which did take quite some time in order for that to happen. But in order for them to show up, and in the meantime, I had to instruct the guides on how to take care of me and put a tourniquet on my leg, because as soon as they pulled me out of the water, I could see that my entire top thigh had been torn apart. My pant, entire leg was ripped apart. My skin was torn off to the side, and I could see a chunk of my quad muscle about the size of a golf ball was just sitting unattached where it should be by a thread. It was still attached, but mostly unattached on top of my leg. So luckily, in all of that damage, I was not bleeding profusely. It was mostly skin damage and muscle damage, but obviously I didn't know the extent of it. I just knew that my toes, I could wiggle, and that I needed a tourniquet no matter what, just to make sure that nothing hopefully wouldn't bleed out, or anything major would happen. So we had all of that. I made sure I stayed calm, stayed in the shade, had Ryan covered me up with a hat, and I, at that time, also made a phone call to my mom back to Florida, which is where we're from, and woke her up at 3 a.m. to let her know what happened, just in case anything happened to me. And her answer on the phone when I called her was, "Are you calling for me to sing you happy birthday?"
Oh.
Because all of this happened on my birthday, about the time that I was born.
Oh my goodness.
Wow. That is amazing.
So I told her, no, I'm calling to let her know the severity of the situation and that Ryan would keep her updated on what's going on. At that moment in time, I was feeling okay. I was just waiting on the help and the medical staff, but it was going to be a journey to get back to recovery and where we needed to be to get medical help. About 45 minutes later is when the helicopter showed up. And they had to maneuver getting a stretcher into the helicopter in order to take us back to the tourist helicopter location and then take the ambulance to the local hospital in Zimbabwe. Even during that time, I was trying to stay upbeat, stay cheerful. I wasn't in very much pain. So, I was joking with Ryan about seeing the falls from a helicopter now, or can we ride, turn into a helicopter tour. So we tried to keep it as light as possible, even though we knew that it could be a major situation that we were facing.
Wow. I'm just impressed that you were looking down at the innards of your leg and were able to instruct everybody else on what to do and how to take care of you in that situation. That's just incredible. Most people would be in shock. Do you think you ever went into any kind of shock, or was you were clear-headed the whole time?
No, I feel I was clear-headed only because I'm very interested in medical stuff. So I always enjoyed watching surgery TV and any of those things. I've been to the bodies exhibit, so none of that really bothers me. I find it more intriguing. So to me, seeing my leg in that manner, it didn't discourage me in any sense. I said, oh, well, everything's here. We'll just have to put it back together. not knowing that it wouldn't be that easy.
Yeah.
But I just knew that there were steps I needed to do to ensure my life and to save my leg, if that was any chance that it could be amputated. So in knowing that my toes worked, I made sure that Ryan knew and the medical staff knew that my toes were functional, which meant that I would not and should not need an amputation in case I passed out or, I wasn't able to respond in any sort of case.
That's brilliant that you, let him know before you. Did you pass out at all at any moment?
I did not. No, I actually was awake the whole time. I could see other vehicles that were on their safari tour, could see that something was happening to us in the middle of the water on the little island. Obviously, we couldn't communicate with them, but they could see something was going on that was not something good. And I just kept, talking with Ryan. I had the phone call with my mom. I was talking with the guides and just trying to, keep the conversations going. In all of that, too, I wanted to instill fear and panic and worry with the guides. So I actually was trying to somehow get them to see the importance and the urgency of getting somebody here as fast as possible, because I knew if I was bleeding out, I would have very minimal time of survival. That I would tell him, if I'm bleeding out, if I don't know this going on, I'm going to pass out and I have about 10 minutes of life left, if that's the case. I said, somebody needs to get something here. Luckily, that was not the case. I was not bleeding out. And it ended up taking 45 minutes, but I think that was more, they were in their own state of shock and panic and worry, and they have no medical training. They have no medical knowledge. I feel like I had more than they did, but they weren't ultimately going to save me. The only one that's going to save me is myself, and Ryan will help in any capacity he can, but I couldn't put my life in the other people's hands, knowing that they were just incapable.
You are absolutely remarkable, and I'm sure you've heard this 100 times, but it is so true. And, I know you've touched on how calm you were and the things you had to do to stay calm, but could you expand on that? Because I think, that's the first thing I need to do if something like this happens, or to anyone. How do you remain calm? What did you do to remain calm? And have you been this way your whole life?
To be honest, I don't know. It was just an instinct to know that you need to hold your breath and you need to hold it as long as possible so you don't black out and drown. I didn't know in that moment when I was being thrashed around under the water, and based on my estimations, net of knowing what I know now as well, about the size of the hippo and the bites that I have on my leg. It was an adult, which typically stand at least 5 feet. I was being thrashed around under the water side to side. And with Ryan at the surface looking out at the water, he could not see any motion in the water whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So my estimation is I was 15 feet down. And without knowing where I am, not that I would have expected anybody to try to jump in a water with an attacking hippo. You know, they weren't going to come and try to find me and try to save me, try to rip me out of a hippo's mouth. But, you know, they didn't even know where I was. So the only person that can save you in that situation is yourself. So holding your breath and not grounding is step one of being pulled underwater, no matter what the animal is. I just happen to, unfortunately, get the largest, most deadliest.
Oh my goodness. So the fact that they didn't have any medical training, this isn't a commonplace occurrence with these tours then. This isn't something that happens from time to time, typically.
That is not true. It actually does happen a lot.
Really?
More than we know. However, the reason we don't hear about it is because it's locals just trying to survive and fish for their families. As far as tours are concerned, I do now know that it has happened on previous tours. Might not have necessarily been this specific tour company, but it has been on the same exact river, and I have spoken to that survivor before.
Wow.
So I do try to tell my story as much as possible, at least so that people understand these other dangers in what you're getting into. And yes, we know it's wildlife, things can happen. But when these type of things aren't published and aren't well known, mostly because it's locals, and it's sad to say that, you know, they don't think of them in any other different aspects, so you don't hear of them. But to know that it happens so often, and if I would have known that, I certainly wouldn't have booked the tour.
Oh my gosh, it is definitely something that should cause any normal person to hesitate before proceeding with something like that, because it isn't published, and it is sad that locals go unreported for these things, and there's no agency recording these statistics anywhere?
Not that I have seen, no. Oh, wow. I've just done my own research and the situations that have occurred. From what I've seen, this specific tour company has not posted this tour from my time when it had happened. But I have seen other tour companies are still doing the tour.
So I imagine that because you aren't a local, your story did kind of bring some media attention.
We'll be back after a quick break.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there.
Look.
We all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit.
Don't play with this shit.
I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
It did. However, they wanted to downplay the situation and blame it on Ryan and myself, and that we were following the instructions of the guide, and that's why it happened. That we were just the dumb American tourists doing their own thing, and that's why we got injured, which was very untrue.
Oh my gosh. We've been
to Africa before. We know to pay attention to the rules, and we booked this tour specifically because they had a long-standing reputation. They have been local for such a long time, and being from Florida, we are on the water all the time with alligators. You're seeing them so up close, but if you stay clear, they stay clear, and vice versa. And we thought, being on this tour with a guide, that they wouldn't do it if it's such a dangerous thing to do with these animals about. And we thought it would be the same like the alligators. If we follow their instructions and stay clear like they said, then it wouldn't be a problem. But we didn't know the background of the story and how often it actually does happen.
Oh my gosh, how abhorrent that they had to try to spin it as well. And take a situation that's already just so difficult to try to navigate through and then worsen it with myths like that. That's so disturbing, but it speaks volumes of our media, sadly.
I think they're trying to protect their business, but that is the wrong way to go about it, for sure.
They are. And I know that it's a difficult life over there and it's hard to come by, and tourism is their way of life, but not at the expense of someone's life. You can see the animals just as well by being in a vehicle than you can being on a river. And I'm not sure that the photos that were representative on their website of what the experiences we would have gotten are even possibly true at all.
Yeah. Which I can say was a surprise. But, you know, those people, I think they would need, like, training now. I mean, you would think something like what happened to you would, you know, give that company more motivation to train their tour guides, to get them the, like, medical training, anything. You know, something. But
yeah, I hope there has been change, but, you know, all I can do is share my story and hope that someone else hears of this and maybe thinks twice, or, you know, maybe they decide to do it. That's their choice, but at least they have more knowledge than I had going into it. Like I had mentioned, they're wild animals. It will be what it will be. It is nature. You never know the situation, but that's life in general. You never know when something's going to happen. You think you're safe driving in a car, wearing your seatbelt. You're doing all the things that you're supposed to do, but something's going to happen eventually, and you never know when, and you never know when it's going to be your time. But all you can do is react and hope for the best.
What an excellent message to bring as well, because if anybody else is in your shoes that has maybe considered possibly doing this tour before and was under the guise that it was a safe thing to do, maybe this has caused now to reconsider and realize that there are safer ways to go about seeing these animals that don't involve putting your life in someone's hands that's not prepared to deal with that kind of responsibility. So it's an excellent message to convey. Now, what did your recovery look like? I know that this is something, as you said, not as simple as just patching your leg back together. But once they kind of took a look at your injuries, did they kind of give you a list of the specific, you know, injuries of your leg that you were looking at, like breaks, fractures, ripped muscles?
They did. My original diagnosis in Zimbabwe was that I had a hairline fracture of a femur.
Oh.
Not an open wound, sore, and the quad muscle being a problem, being torn apart. However, all of that was misdiagnosed in Zimbabwe. I was medically evacuated to Johannesburg to a major trauma center, where I went under the extensive overall testing and x-rays, CT scans, et cetera. And the femur was actually a full break. So they immediately did a femur repair with pins. And then they had to call in a plastic surgeon to work on the skin issue. Because I had such a long delay in getting from when the incident occurred from Zimbabwe back to Johannesburg and getting to that plastic surgeon, unfortunately, that was a lot of time lost that my skin actually started dying. Mm-hmm. So it's possible I might have had a bit different of a recovery process if that didn't happen. But they had to end up removing majority of the skin that got torn apart. They have a lot of cleanup to do in the muscle because my leg was torn apart in the river as well, which is extremely dirty from animal feces, et cetera. I ended up with two types of bacteria from the water. So unfortunately, they could not do any wound closures, repairs of any sort until the bacteria was completely gone. So I did have to be in Africa for 2 weeks. During that time, under extensive antibiotics, and every other day they had a cleanup surgery to just clean out the wound, flush it out, remove any more dead tissues. Finally, once I was cleared to medically be evacuated back home, I then had more surgeries here in Florida, which they did not like the femur repair that was done in Africa. So that had to be completely redone with a new rod and pins.
Kidding. Oh my gosh.
And then the wound was prepped on my flight over, which took 36 hours to fly back home. So all of that prepared me for being back in Florida to prepare for a skin graft to close up the entire wound. which happened to be on the very entire front of my quad, from my knee about to the middle of my quad, up my leg, as well as behind my entire back part of my knee, as well as I had a major gash across the back of my calf and a puncture wound on the very top of my thigh. So I think all in all, the 30 days that I was in the hospital, the initial onset from the incident to being relieved to finally go home, I believe I was at about 14 surgeries at that time. It's been almost 5 years now. December 1st will be 5 years. And I am now at surgery 22. Most of that had to do with the fact that I could not bend my knee. I did not have full range of motion for about 3 years. That we had to work on that due to the skin growth and a lot of scar tissue, reconstructive surgeries. And during COVID, I underwent a full 6-month procedure of tissue expanders to expand my natural skin and remove the entire skin graft on the top of my leg since it was causing me mobility problems. The skin and the tissue that I lost behind my knee actually included part of the lymph node system. So I did have some swelling that was occurring in my calf. And this past February, which was surgery 22, I did a quadruple lymph node bypass to a vein, which has prevented the swelling now. And hopefully that will stay good and I will not need another one in the future. But all in all, now with 5 years of recovery, I've, you know, set new goals. I've accomplished goals that I, you know, didn't see myself doing for quite some time, but I've made such great progress with getting back into running and biking, and I even completed a marathon this past year, which I never thought I ever wanted to do, but it was something that I figured I needed to challenge myself in different ways, and I've set different recovery goals, and trying to get back to all of that and even do more than I thought I ever could do before.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Phenomenal. It's hard to come up with words to overcome everything that you did. Do you have any kind of hang-ups now with Africa?
I do not. Part of also one of my recovery challenges to myself is that I wanted to return back to Africa and visit family again. I wanted to reach out to the people that had helped me locally in Johannesburg because that's where our family lives as well. So Ryan and I actually just recently got back from Africa. We went last month and I wanted to prove to myself that, you know, it's a once in a lifetime trip, but it's also a once in a lifetime experience of being attacked, and the chances of it happening again are very slim. And I didn't want that to damper my experiences with animals and photography and the things that I love and the traveling that we do. So we went back, we enjoyed a full week in the nature reserve, seeing all the wild animals safely from a vehicle this time. But we had such an amazing experience, so many animals, so many wildlife, and it's just amazing to see them all in their natural environment.
That's so, so amazing that you made it back there. Now, on your return trip there, did you come close to the attack site at all?
No, we did not go back to Zimbabwe since that was a once-in-a-lifetime trip, as I said, only because it requires the extra flight over to Zimbabwe.
Oh, gotcha, yeah.
This time we decided to stay closer, and we went to Kruger National Park, which is a very well-known large wildlife reserve there as well. It is fully out in the nature. Nothing's off limits, and there are hippos there as well. We did get to experience them safely from underwater high kind of area. They have little bungalows that they build, so you can kind of have a sneak peek safely. So we got to see them kind of playing, and the adolescents were kind of sparring at each other and running around, and all the group of them were laying together and huffing and making their snorting sounds. So it was definitely a different experience this time, but safely from a distance.
Wow. Just remarkable. And I'm sure all of the emotions going through in that moment too, having returned and How do you feel having come back from that? Do you feel like a fulfillment in a way that you hadn't before?
I do. Only because, I know that it didn't put me down. I've never been, these are causing me struggles or not seeing the animals. And I went to the local zoos, in Florida here and, saw the hippos up close. And so I've had those experiences since my accident. So they never trouble me because I know that they're animals. They do what they do. I was in an environment, so I just happened to be unlucky that day and got an angry one for whatever reason. But to be in their environment makes me happier to see them out where they should be. So it's just a different experience altogether to see that.
My goodness. Absolutely amazing. And with your photography, where are you hoping that it heads? Do you have plans for your work? Are you working towards any kind of goal with your photography?
Right now it's just a side hobby that we do. But every trip we do is pretty much targeted towards some sort of wildlife somewhere. But we would definitely love to expand that and do it more professionally and as a future business. We do post all of our travel pictures by location on our website at yaldorphotography.com, as well as our Instagram page at yaldorphotography.
Looking at your Instagram, and the pictures are remarkable. They're just fantastic. Up close, and it looks beautiful. You have a tiger with its tongue fully out. It looks amazing.
And underneath its chin. I didn't know that they're able to lick underneath their chin.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yes, yeah, I like to do the up-close photos of the animals because I like to see such detail in their fur or skin and the wrinkles or the whiskers or, the intricate details of their eyes and the coloration. So a lot of our photos are very up-close. We do also love doing macro photography as well.
Yes.
And so you'll see the other underwater photography that we do. We did a lot of corals. As well as fish and other mammals as well. So we post all of that out there, as well as my recovery blog I do have on Facebook under The Hippo Girl, just so that way people can understand that, something that's happened and the full scope of the recovery isn't just a couple surgeries and you're back on your feet going again. This has taken me 5 years now, to get this far. It really was 3 years of straight struggle and physical therapy and constant surgeries and wound management myself, due to mishaps with surgeries and the doctors, trying out different techniques, and, all the different pieces of learning how to walk again and what it felt like to come out into the sunlight again after being stuck in a hospital for 30 days and, having tears on your face. It's just things that you take for granted that you don't think of normal day experiences, but they all do add up and it gets there. But the whole entire take on all of it is that you've got to stay positive. You've got to have I use comedy in a lot of my recovery, so I like to make a lot of jokes. I like to look at a lot of pictures. I'd like to do research. I like to know more about what's going on. But overall, it's you and your drive and the people that you surround yourself with that will get you to where you want to be. You just got to stay positive and do it.
Well said. Yeah.
Very well said. My goodness. Now, do you have any of your prints available somewhere for purchase? Can we do that right off your website?
They are not yet available for purchase, but every photo that is currently out there on yaldorphotography.com will be available for purchase. We're working on getting the e-commerce portion of the website up, but if you are interested, there is a contact us page currently out there that you're welcome to fill out a form for, and we can make arrangements to do an individual purchase until we have that e-commerce portion set up.
I love that. That's super exciting that you're working towards that. I can't wait. Oh my gosh, I can just imagine some of your works hanging in portraits and rooms. It just sounds very idyllic. But I know David is like probably dying. He's got a list of questions that he wanted to ask you. David, do you have a few things you'd like to ask Kristen?
Yes. Yeah, forgive me for this question, but I did see the video where the paramedic was singing happy birthday to you. I thought that was a thing. And you were just, like, directing him along. It was wonderful. And I'm, like, a birthday you're never going to forget, obviously. And you wouldn't even, I bet you wouldn't even call this your worst birthday, would you?
No, it definitely wouldn't. The gentleman that actually sang to me, I do still keep in touch with.
Really?
Very nice gentleman.
Yes, he was part of the recovery flight program that had picked me up there. This is definitely one that he will never forget as well. To pick up a HIFO survivor is not very common. And that's where you had asked about the doctors as well, about giving me recovery guidance. I can certainly say they had none, since the doctors that I worked with had never worked with a HIFO survivor.
No kidding.
But yes, that is Shelton. He was very wonderful singing to me, and yes, I was conducting him along to try to keep
him. It was very adorable. One thing I did want to ask was, you said no PTSD. Mm-hmm. And to me, I just find that remarkable. I just cannot. Is it mindset? Is it like a mind over matter thing? Because I think I would have it.
I think a little bit is that. I feel like in my situation, because it's so unique, the chance of me encountering a HIFO again are very slim in the water. But I kind of feel it was so quick in the way that it happened, and that I didn't have time to think. I didn't, have any other way to react other than to survive. It's that I won't be in that situation again. And I didn't see anything happen because it was all underwater. So
probably helped a good deal.
Yeah, I feel like because I didn't see anything happen, I just kind of, oh, I have a leg injury. We just have something to work it past. It wasn't the HIFO itself. It wasn't how I was attacked. It was just, I've got a leg problem and I've got to work through it. So, but keeping positive, like I had mentioned.
Yeah, I mean,
let it get you down, then it's going to get you down. So, yes, I couldn't walk for months. I couldn't even move my foot and my ankle. I had to physically pick my leg up. But, that's what you got to do to get around. That's what you got to do. So, if I got a peg leg, if I got to drag it along with me, then, that's what will need to happen. It will work eventually. But unless I work through all that, it's not going to do it on its own. So,
exactly. And I noticed the pictures. There were so many pictures from after the attack, like when they were transporting you here and they were getting you in the copter. And in every one of those pictures, I saw you smiling. I was just so amazed by that.
Yeah, that's probably the humorous side of me. Is that there's ever a camera around, I always feel that I have to smile. But, it's also an experience. I mean, I got a Learjet flight on my birthday. I got to pet a HIFO for my birthday. I mean, it was definitely a once-in-a-lifetime birthday for that. And in the trip itself, like I said, you've got to have the comedy in it. And even, the day after being in the hospital, my family was close by. So, luckily I have such great family over there, with my husband's family. And, we were looking at pictures. We were reading some of the news stories and just kind of laughing at, some of the stories that transpired. We went to one of the dinner shows, they said, which we didn't go to. And, I asked Ryan, I said, well, how was it? I didn't get to go with you. So we kind of joked at that. One of the articles said I had passed away. And I said, oh, well, I guess I came back to life,
They couldn't even get that right.
Some of them spelled my name wrong. So we just kind of joked and kind of looked at all the funny things about it. And they came to humor. So what did they buy me? What can you get in South Africa? Hungry, hungry hippos. So we got to play hungry, hungry hippos in the hospital. And, I got home back to Florida and my mom had bought me a stuffed animal hippo. And, her only comment was, do you know how hard it is to find a hippo with teeth? They're always so cute and cuddly, but there's none with teeth. And so she went on a hunt to find one. So So it's keeping a good attitude.
That's amazing. I love scouring all of Florida for a hippo toy.
That's funny. I was wondering, this is my last question. Have you had any dreams about this?
Surprisingly, I had one dream when I was in the hospital in South Africa. And the story is my dog was in a muddy pool of water. And I went to go get her, and a manatee bit my leg.
What?
And I looked at the manatee, and I asked him, I said, "Why are you biting me? You don't bite." And I was very confused. But in retrospect and thinking about it, that was the only relation to the hippo attack. But I can tell you from touching a hippopotamus, and I have accidentally ran upon a manatee swimming in one of the state parks over here, that they do feel very much the same. They are very leathery and thick-skinned, and the hippo has whiskers on its face. So that was the only kind of relation I can, you know, put together on why I had that one dream. But ever since then, I haven't had any other nightmares, dreams, hippo thoughts of any sorts.
That is so interesting.
That is really interesting. And I almost said that when you said manatee. I was like, I wonder if your brain's just reaching for the closest thing that would be, because your brain would never think of a hippo in Florida. So it just, that's so interesting how the brain operates that way.
And that dream was actually in Africa.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was the, I think, day two of being at the hospital. I think I had that dream. And I told it to Ryan. I was like, that was kind of strange. But I guess a manatee is pretty much like a hippo. It's gray. It's leathery. It's thick. You know, so I guess that's the closest relation. But ever since then, no, I haven't had any other dreams, nothing else. I have gone snorkeling, and we recently did scuba diving to try to get back into that, because I thought maybe being down under the water might give me some sort of anxiety. But I was perfectly okay, and had a camera in my hand as usual. So I right back into it for the underwater photography. The only thing I have not yet done, and not that it was a big passion of ours, but have not done kayaking or canoeing. And I don't see myself getting in any dirty lakes or rivers or any of those sort of things, at least anytime soon.
Understandably.
I'm sure you would have at all.
We'll stick to the clear waters of the Caribbean, or, you know, out in the areas.
That's right. Yeah, the Gulf side is. David, are you wrapped up on questions? I don't want to cut you short.
No. I love the dream questions. I'm kind of at it for dreams. So.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask the same thing too about nightmares, because that's a theme that I think anyone who's been, I was attacked by a dog. It pales in comparison, but I had dreams about it for a while. So that's always curious. To learn about how people's brains kind of respond to that in the subconscious state. So it was a good question.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's different for everybody in their situation. I'm part of an animal attack group, you know, just to try to lend a helping hand or support, or, you know, information, doctors, you know, kind of thing like that. And, you know, everybody takes their situation differently regarding their attack, how they feel, how other people are perceiving them. And it's just something you have to work on internally and not really try to listen to the outside world's opinions of things. But ultimately it lies with you. So, I'm very grateful and very lucky that I don't have any of those situations, any PTSD, anything holding me back now. I did for a long time with my mobility, but I was not going to stop. I did not care how many surgeries it took me. And I had a great group of doctors that were willing to give me other alternatives when the previous option did not work. I told them I'm too young to be limited. I want to do what I want to do. I want to enjoy what I still do and what I can do. And let's go for it until I say I feel that I'm in a good place, that I know I can do things. So that's where I am now, and my next goal is to ride a bicycle across the state of Florida.
Oh my goodness, so. That's a amazing goal! Like lengthwise or widthwise first?
Across, yes, it's about 270 miles. I did it in October before my attack. So 2 months prior. So this will be 5 years now. So it's the last year that they're doing it. So I said, okay, this is my last recovery goal, that I'm setting for myself to accomplish. And, so I'm working hard to get that done and be ready for that saddle.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to do it. I have no doubt you're going to do it.
The hills are a challenge because I lost my quad muscle, but, I might be slow, but I will accomplish.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Phenomenal. No, I'm in Florida. I'm in Cape Coral, and I've always wanted to hike the Florida Trail, you know, tip to tip. And there's people that do that every year. There's a group of them and they meet up and it takes them about 90 days or so to do the whole thing. And I'm like, you know, in retrospect, 3 months of your life isn't really all that long, but then also 3 months of your life is a pretty long time in the same hand. So it's
like, I said, hopefully it's in the cooler months for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely like October, November, I think is when they usually head out. But.
Yep. That's when we're targeting. So, we're getting there. We're ready. We're challenging it, but luckily I only have to do the hills one day. The rest of it's flat for the most part.
Well, you're going to do it. I'm so excited. That's a really impressive goal to try to set following everything that you've been through. So I know you'll do it and you'll defeat it, and then you'll have all of your boxes checked off for your recovery. That's awesome.
Yep. And then I'll have to set the next goal.
Yeah. To keep setting them. Yeah. Well, one more time, can you just tell us again where to find you on Instagram and where to get your, where to find your prints on your website?
Sure. Our website where all of our travel photos are posted by location is at yaldorphotography.com. And Yaldor is spelled Yaldor photography.com. On Instagram is at Yaldor Photography. And the recovery blog, where you can read my entire recovery story and photos of the injuries and surgeries and setting up my goals and accomplishments. That is all on Facebook at The Hippo Girl. And keep posting, keep checking along, and look for new photos, new trips, new pictures, new goals. And keep your own goals set and your own positivity going, and you'll achieve what you can achieve.
Oh, what a beautiful message. Okay. I needed to hear that. Well, do you have anything? Chanel, what's that, David?
I was just going to thank her for being on. I think you are like Wonder Woman in my eyes, for sure. And you certainly won something.
You sure did. Well, thank you. Yes, as he said, thank you so much for sharing your time today with us and to telling us about your story and where we can find you and follow along on all of your travels. It's really exciting that you're still out there, and really gratifying to know that not to let things, you know, unplanned life interruptions stop you from your dreams. So that was a really important message that I think we can all take from your story. And I'm really grateful that you're spreading the word to people to be more aware of the things that they do involving wild animals as well.
Thank you, Amanda and David. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to spread that information, and hopefully it being out there, people hear this. My goal is at least to save one other person's life from doing this.
It's an admirable goal. It's so sweet. And if anybody's listening and has plans that are now changed regarding your desires to want to see hippos, please do let us know. I'm sure you'd love to know if anybody's reconsidered and then potentially save someone from a similar ordeal. So let us know if this resonated with you. I know it did for me and David. But thank you again so much. And is there anything else that you want to touch on before we let you go today?
Just enjoy life, do what you love, and keep doing it.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much. You take care and kill that biking across Florida, as I know you will. I'm sure you'll reach that goal.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time, guys.
Great.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks. And for all you at home, stay alive until next time.